It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weak?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher.
Hey guys.
Hey, it's good to know that each and every one of you are out there listening.
Yeah.
And hearing us over the airwaves and the podcast and even on our website, which is a new place that you can actually catch Turn the Light On now, and that is at ourlighthouse.net. We have a Turn the Light On tab on our website, so if you want to go back and listen to or watch any of the but if you want to listen to any of the programs, you can, I know, you can go out on the website, once again, at ourlighthouse.net.
That's great, yeah. Well, we've got a big one. We've got a lot of reading to do, but this is such a good story.
And it's a great story.
It's the Miracle 34, and it's Raising of Lazarus.
Yes.
Or Lazarus, sorry.
Lazarus.
We're going to read from John, and let's see. We got some heavy
duty 1 through 46,
read.
So it's that's like all? 46 verses of this story.
So why do you sound so sad about that?
No, I'm excited about
okay. it. So I'll start, and if
I was being like, well, you if know.
Well, do you want to go first? We can read halfway through. I mean, why don't we just... Why don't I start it?
Go to 24.
Okay.
And then I'll take it from 25.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to be reading out of John 11, 1 through 46.
Okay. So I'll start the first part. So now a certain man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Now it was Mary who anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and wiped his feet dry with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, look, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, he said, "The sickness will not lead to death, but to God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he remained in the place where he was for 2 more days. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish leaders were just now trying to stone you to death. Are you going to go there again?" And Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours in a day?" It's kind of a funny remark. "If anyone walks around in the daytime, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks around at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." And after he said this, he added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." Then the disciples replied, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had been talking about his own death, but they thought he had been talking about real sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So Thomas, who's called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go too, so that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days already. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, so many of the Jewish people of the region had come to Martha and Mary to console them over the loss of their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you have been here, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will grant you." And Jesus replied, "Your brother will come back to life again." And Martha said, "I know that he will come back to life again in the resurrection at that last day."
But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and the one who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who comes into the world." And when she had said this, Martha went out and called her sister Mary, saying privately, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." So when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had come out to meet him. Then the people who were with Mary in the house, consoling her, saw her get up quickly and go out. And they followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the people who had come with her weeping, he was intensely moved in the spirit and greatly distressed. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." It says Jesus wept. Thus the people who had come to mourn said, "Look how much he loved him." But some of them said, "This is the man who caused the blind man to see. Couldn't he not have done something to keep Lazarus from dying?" And then Jesus intensely moved again and came to the tomb. And now it was a cave, and a stone was placed across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, replied, "Lord, by this time the body will have a bad smell because he has been buried for 4 days." And Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you that you have listened to me. I knew that you always listen to me, but I said this for the sake of the crowd standing around here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he shouted in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the one who had died came out, his feet and hands tied up with strips of cloth, and a cloth wrapped around his face. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him go." And the many of the people who had come with Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and reported to them what Jesus had done.
Oh my goodness. I just pictured like a mummy coming out.
Right, right.
I forgot
well,
that his
he was.
Face, his face was wrapped, you know. So, but just, man, I can't even try. This is a really like to try to picture that happening.
There's so much happening in this story.
To be standing there and him come walking out with all the stuff wrapped around him, you know, and it be smelling. And it's just really just this is such a good story, a
sure.
good testimony of Jesus, you know. But
well, I love that Jesus, you know, he's all the way in a different area. He's down by the Jordan. And, you know, Lazarus was sick. He'd heard about it. You know, in verse 3, we see Mary and Martha know that Jesus loves him. And in verse 5, you know, John points out again that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So,
right.
You know, why is he repeating this? You know, I think
exactly.
he wants to emphasize the love between this family. And perhaps the reason for this is that Jesus is about to do something that doesn't seem very loving. He's going to let Lazarus die. Think about that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
You know, maybe John's trying to emphasize that just because bad things happen to us, it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. Think about that
right.
for a second.
It's true.
It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. And later on in the account, we see Jesus deeply moved and troubled and even weeping and crying. And, you know, I don't see any reason to think that Jesus didn't care about him.
No, this was, and it was the way that Jesus spoke about this, it was very obvious. He already knew what was going to happen because
right.
he said it would glorify me. It's to glorify
sure.
me. We're going to, you know, he's only fallen asleep. He's trying to keep him calm. He can't tell them he's about to die. So he just said, well, he's, you know, the falling asleep thing.
Yeah.
And it's
going to take a nap.
Right. So Jesus points out that the purpose of the sickness was that God and he himself would be glorified. So he's setting it up, but they're just not even thinking that. And they're not even thinking that when Jesus shows up at the scene even, you know. But that delay in verse 4 through 6, it's like Jesus delays going to Bethany until after Lazarus had died. And again, the delay was so that he could glorify, you know, that he would be glorified. There, he's still always in a teaching mode. Jesus was such a teacher, you know,
yeah.
he's in this teaching mode. So then there's this discussion about the safety, right? The disciples, Jesus could have healed or raised Lazarus from a distance. We know that. Some of the miracles.
He could have just spoken the word like
exactly.
some of the other miracles we've looked at.
But maybe this is just a thought, but maybe he's wanting to go back to Bethany just to test the willingness of the disciples to see if they'd follow him back into danger. You know, we don't know.
Just tried to kill him there.
Because it's all about faith. Everything's faith, faith, faith. You know, did they have the faith to believe that they would be fine going back? And, you know, Jesus is also talking a lot about his death and him dying. So
it's getting closer.
He's gotten close to being stoned to death. So they really did have major concerns about, like, what, you want to go back there, you know? So this was more preparation for the persecution they would experience after Jesus' ascension, you know. Interesting enough, it's like this doubting Thomas,
yeah, right,
who has the boldness and encourages the rest of the disciples to follow Jesus. Isn't that interesting? So
yeah, I think you know, we also see the discussion that was had in this chapter about him being asleep.
Right.
You know?
Right. It was that insight.
He never said he was dead. He wasn't going to speak that.
No, you're right.
He wasn't going to say he's dead. He wasn't dead. He was asleep.
That's right.
You know, knowing that, I think it really brings a big emphasis to the fact that even when we die, we're not dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is an afterlife.
And the power of his tongue.
World, yeah.
He knew how to control that.
Well, he knew the power of his words.
That's
and
right.
I think that's where we slip up many times, don't we, Cher?
Right. You say something.
We get out there and just let our mouth run like
easily.
An Olympic sprinter.
Is that your description? It's very easy if you're not paying attention. And I have close friends of mine and we catch each other. And if we try, you know, if we're unknowingly saying something, but he, isn't that wild that Jesus, if you think about it, Jesus didn't even want to say that he was dead. He needed the natural progression of that to happen without him speaking it because it would have just been done immediately.
No, well, he's at really Bethany's with Mary, he's with Martha, and they're all saying he's dead. If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died. You know, and they just keep speaking death.
Right. Well, you're right. And then they're at the burial site, you know, and now Jesus is. You know, having the anguish, it's showing his emotion, which is something we haven't seen in the miracles. We've seen Jesus act in compassion, but we've never seen where Jesus had actually said
cried
Jesus
with anybody
wept.
He or cried, anything. It's the first time in Scripture we see that.
Right. So he had really
Jesus
close.
Wept.
He had really close friends, and you know, even though Jesus knew he was going to raise them, that he still wept. He wept with the other people. The compassion that Jesus is displaying for us to understand, to put ourselves in an empathetic place where we can empathize with people around us and what they're going through is what Jesus is showing us here. He even knew. He could have just been smiling at him because don't cry because I'm about to raise him from the dead. But no, he got on their level.
Sure.
And he related to them. You know, we have to be a relatable believer that
we
can
in
relate.
He was tempted in every manner, in every way, as we were, yet without sin, you know. I think he was more, you know, disappointed and hurt by what he'd put them through.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got Mary and Martha. He loved them dearly.
Right.
And he had to let their brother die, knowing even that he was going to raise them from the dead.
Yeah.
They had to go through that.
Right.
And, you know, how many different things have we gone through in our lives, you know, and you know,
you can question and
you can.
You can question, like, you can decide in your head of how a healing is supposed to happen and decide that it needs to happen this way. And I'm not saying going against the word, but just in your mind, you're like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, even for me, I expected right when I went and got prayer and healed, I expected to be healed. But through me healing in a little bit of a different process, I learned why those things happened to me, how to eat better. I wrote a book, you know, he used something that the enemy intended for harm and he created good out of it. And this is the same thing that Jesus is doing. You know, he doesn't want us to be ever in any place where we would be hurting or in pain. You know, that's not his intent.
Right.
This was more about, you know, glorifying the Lord. And, you know, we have to be standing on the word, speaking the truth, trusting and having faith, but leaving out of the equation the how. I think that that's the part, because they were saying to Jesus, you know, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. So they had all these hows and why this was supposed to happen.
Sure.
And, you know, that anguish, we just really need to know that God is our advocate and he understands us and he empathizes with us.
Yeah, for sure. I actually want to jump back. I love the story and how Jesus was compassionate. But, you know, in the very beginning of this story, there was a really amazing verse.
Did you grab a little nugget?
Verse 9 that I wanted to go back and kind of talk about that too, you know. And, you know, it says, and starting in verse 7, it says, then after this he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples replied, Rabbi, the Jewish leaders were just now trying to stone you to death. Are you going to go there again? And Jesus replied, are there not 12 hours in a day?
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's like, that sounds weird. But then he says this, which I thought was really powerful. He says, if anybody walks around in the daytime, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world.
There you go.
But if anybody walks around at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And I think that's almost like a prophetic statement that he's making.
Yes, it's a parable for sure.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Right.
Okay, guys, each and every one of us know that, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. But, you know, we have walked in darkness. The world has been consumed and darkness has come into this world and into this life. And, you know, we see it in people's lives constantly, don't you, Cher?
Yeah. Well, Jesus, just trying to point out, like I'm the light. You have to be able to see the light. And when you see the light, you won't stumble. So just come, you know, all good things come from the Lord. All good things come from Jesus. He's trying to tell them, just follow me, follow the light. Don't try to figure out the how and the why, you know. They were like, wait, what, this, that. We logically try to put things. We bring them back down to earth is what I call it. Instead of keeping them in the supernatural, they were walking with the supernatural Jesus that was saying, just follow the light, you know, so that, you know, us being able to see that light and them only seeing what they can and understand in the natural, you know, which they had concerns about.
I love that he said this right before he told them, you know, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think he's saying is darkness has overtaken him. He's in darkness right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm the light of the world, and I'm going to come, and he's going to begin to walk, you know, again with me, you know, in life. And I think that's the same thing God's saying to each and every one of us, guys.
It was this parallel you're saying.
Yeah, it's like a parallel.
Right.
We look for this in Scripture, you know, as pastors to talk about these things and to share these things. And I just wanted to share that with everybody today that, you know, there's some areas in your life where, you know, Scripture tells us we've been lulled to sleep,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the enemy has tried to come into our lives and bring death and bring destruction. And
mm-hmm.
and I think God is calling us to wake up.
Right, to see the light, to see the light version. Oh, yes, there is an awakening happening here for sure and lots of things.
Sure.
But if we see the light, then we can see past is what you're saying. You see,
yes.
You see past what's in front of you or past the circumstance that's in front of you, past the stoning, the whatever, and you see it through Jesus's eyes and you begin to understand the light and how the light shines in the dark and the dark can't comprehend it, that there is nothing. And then again, he's showing another resurrection of him too, coming as the light of the world. You know, there's a lot of depth, man. You could just
I think a lot of you guys out there may be in a dark place in your life. I think you might be in a place where the light of Jesus needs to come and shine, maybe in just an area of your life. It may not be your whole life, but there may be areas of our life where we've been walking in darkness and we're stumbling, you know, we're stumbling through life. And I think God is saying to each and every one of you that, you know, I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. Come to me, all you who are weary, who are heavy laden. We said this yesterday, and I'll give you rest. I think that Sabbath day that we talked about yesterday is actually, you know, found in Christ being the light of your world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's time to wake up, everybody. It's time to recognize some of the things that are going on in our world, in our lives, in our personal lives, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with our families, you know, and know this, Jesus loves you.
Right.
Just like Martha and Mary, Jesus is in love with you. He loves you.
Right.
And he is reaching out to you. And you know, that's what? Right. Even though the world has put you to sleep and maybe even tried to kill you in your walk with the Lord, God is saying, I am coming. And he's going to come to that area of your life in that tomb area. And he's going to say to each and every one of you, you can put your name in this sentence. He's going to say, Cher, come forth. He's going to say, mm-hmm. Kevin, you know, come mm-hmm. forth.
Right.
And God's speaking that to people right now, I think, right. as we're doing the program. He's calling you forth. He's saying, come out of that. Come and have a relationship with me.
I have a different even spin on that, because I see this as an opportunity to have faith and not look at the circumstances that are in front of you so much, to not be so caught up that you don't believe that Jesus has a way. He right. always has a way, and it's good, and it glorifies him, and yeah. it's light, and it's goodness,
it's good.
And he can turn the things in our circumstances into things that are good, that glorify him, if we let him, if we put our focus on Jesus and we have the faith to believe and only see the light and not necessarily the circumstance in front of us. I think that's another way to look at this. You know, you may have some circumstances that seem really dark.
Sure.
And you need to remember that Jesus, there is no thing in the natural, no circumstance that you have in the natural that you're looking at that can't be resolved by
yeah.
our Jesus. He's above all that. He has the supernatural means and yeah. ways above any natural law.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole miracles of Jesus is yeah. all about, breaking those laws and those religions.
Sure.
Right.
And it's right there in verse 25. You know, Jesus said to her, you know, Lazarus' sister, I am the resurrection and the life.
Right.
Okay. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. And the one
That's
who
right.
lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Right.
You know, and I think God is speaking resurrection power into your life today. He's saying, I want to raise you up. I want you to no longer feel dead inside, and I want you to come out of that tomb. You know, it's
right.
graves into gardens. You know that
right.
song?
Right.
I think God is calling us up and out of the tomb, and he's saying, come and be alive and walk with me again. And
right.
imagine what everybody looked like when they saw Lazarus from that day forward. He's the guy that was dead four days.
I mean,
and now he's alive.
His sister, they were the ones that probably prepared him for the burial and you know, wrapped him up.
Him
and so they've been mourning for 4 days
yeah.
over him, and they put him there, and they said goodbye to him, and he comes walking out, and it justifies everything that you could possibly think that could be in your way.
Sure.
Jesus is like, watch this. Watch my resurrection power.
Yeah, such a powerful miracle, man. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to finish it up.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour awaits. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. This is Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher. We've been talking about Lazarus being raised from the dead, pulled out of the tomb 4 days, Cher.
Coming out like a mummy,
seriously,
wrapped up.
Somebody untie this guy and give him something to eat.
Yeah, he's like tied up still.
Yeah.
You know what is so crazy about this story is that even when they saw the resurrection, it said that still people ran to go tell the Pharisees. And so it shows you.
Like, still, or they just were people, like, can you believe what he's doing now?
Which, you know, kind of brings me a little bit of like, take a breath when I look around at what's going on right now in our country. And you're like, how do people not see this? You know,
right.
You kind of have a better understanding that there are just some people that just can't see. They just can't get, you're like, I don't know what else has to happen. I mean, they literally saw a guy come out of this and, you know, and also their heart, the people whose hearts were just not right. They went to run and tell the Pharisees, you know, because they didn't approve of it. So they didn't have that compassion still after their mourning and crying, you know, and so.
Well, I love the fact that, you know, Jesus wept in this story. He understands anguish and he understands the hurt that people are in the world. He's felt that firsthand as God and man. Mm-hmm. He's been with us and he's had friends and he knows what it's like to see them lose a loved one and stuff like that.
Right.
So.
And we should have that same compassion. You should have that same compassion for the people around you. You know, there's times where you hear a story or you see something and, you know, pray for them, you know, have compassion on the people and try to put yourself in an, I say not sympathy, but empathy, you know, it empathizes.
Sure.
You're able to understand what they may be going through. It gives you more mercy. It gives
you
more ability to help that person and see Jesus moves. It said the Spirit moved on him when he wept.
Right.
So there is something that happens in us when we have compassion, that love that pours out of us, that creates that movement, that changes, that miracles happen.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting thing because that one little spot in that scripture said, and then the Spirit moved on him when he had that compassion.
Yeah.
So we should all consider that, you know.
Well, I think overall, I think we just got to remember that, you know, when bad things happen, it doesn't mean God doesn't care.
Absolutely
not. I think we
can
see that in this story.
Right.
And I think you need to know that and understand that God loves you. He's for you. And, you know, he said in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
That's right.
So hope you guys enjoyed this miracle today, and we'll see you tomorrow on Turn the Light
Sounds
On.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.